just go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Friday, everybody. We've made it through another very slow week in the news. And we have now been able to chalk up a few Brewers wins after a rough start to the beginning of the season. We're also celebrating the women's NCAA Final Four, two games kicking off this evening. So I could think of no better guest for this particular show in this particular moment than the chief operating officer of the Milwaukee Brewers, a woman who has made history in sport in her own right, to help celebrate one of my absolute favorite sports team ever, the Milwaukee Brewers. We're going to do some ticket giveaways after my interview with Miss Ronsky this afternoon for the Brewers game on the 19th versus this, let's see. Who is the, oh, that's versus the A's. Of course, the Brewers kicking it off this evening at 7:10, first pitch against the Cincinnati Reds. We're now 3-4 for the good guys on the season, on the upswing. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show, Marty Ronsky. I really appreciate you making time.
Oh, Maggie, thanks so much for having me. You got me all kinds of choked up and jittered and then excited there in that intro. So thank you.
So much going on with the crew. Your position is the chief operating officer. For people who might not know, we know what GMs do, right? But COOs and folks that run operations within major league sports teams, sometimes that's a little vague for people. And it's not just the business of the team. You handle all sorts of matters for the Brewers. Tell people what your job is, what your day-to-day looks like.
Oh, boy. I'm not sure there is a day-to-day. And I think I've become, I get teased. You know, I started at the Brewers. I've been there 22 years. And I started as our general counsel. And I get teased that, you know, I went from one amorphous title to another just so I can kind of make up and do whatever I want to do. But it doesn't quite work that way. So I would say this, Maggie. In general, I oversee, Rick Schlesinger, our president, and I sort of oversee in a split two sides of the business. He's got some departments that report up to him. I have departments that report up to me. I have legal, HR, IT, business strategy and analytics and marketing, and then sort of what I would say an umbrella to how we operate, how we're efficient, you know, how we operate cross-functionally, cross-departmentally in order to ensure that, you know, as you can imagine, in a business that's sort of, I would say, as broad as ours can be, it's really not uncommon for the right hand to not be talking directly to the left, right? And so a lot of making sure that the hands are together, that's on me. And I love it. I have, you know, really only been dug into the role for about the past year. It gets more interesting and exciting every day. But yeah, it's pretty vague.
Which is one of the fun parts about the job, both as a general counsel. I am a GC. I have been a GC. Often lawyers get pegged to do the COO roles, plucked out of GC roles, because you have to have sight lines on everything as an attorney. You have to do that as a COO as well. Marty, if folks don't know you, you're from Neenah. You're a St. Norbert graduate, UW Law School, homegrown and history making as a woman. As far as I know, and correct me if I'm wrong, I know that Kim Ng was GM at the Marlins before we had Caroline O'Connor, who's still president of business ops for the Marlins as well. But I believe you're the only female COO in Major League Baseball. Am I getting that right?
Well, close. I was the first, and just a short time ago. What makes me so happy about the fact that you're just a little bit wrong there is that we actually have one other now.
Good.
Shortly after I was made COO, another club went ahead at the Padres and made the move. They too have a female COO. Her role's a little different than mine. To be honest with you, every organization's a little different. But we got two. We're working our way up there, Maggie.
I love that you have to correct me about that. It's wonderful to see women in those executive leadership positions, especially in increasing numbers across all of our four major sports franchises here in the United States. I also wanted to start by congratulating you and the Brewers for getting the lease deal done right at the end of 2024 to keep the Brewers in Milwaukee through 2050. Congratulations on that. What was that experience like? Can you tell people a little bit about the complexities here. It's timely, of course, because Congressman Glenn Grothman is introducing legislation to basically prevent taxpayers from investing in Major League sports franchises through stadiums. I explain to people all the time as an economist, listen, this is a finite supply industry. And because of that, sports franchises, Major League franchises have choice. And because they have the commodity that we want, and because of the economic engine that so many of these franchises provide, not just in the immediate community, but for example, in the state of Wisconsin, the Brewers throughout the state, talk to us, if you can, a little bit about why it's so important, not just for Milwaukee, but whatever angle you want to take on that question, Marty, and a little bit about the process to get this deal done to keep you all here through 2050.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll start the response by just a huge, huge thank you to the state, to, you know, this, it had been a long time since we had seen a bipartisan measure taken in the state of Wisconsin, and we saw it here. And I would say that, you know, Rick and I had a set of goals as we went into the process. That was a big one. We really were hopeful that we could do this in a bipartisan way. You know, I mentioned before that I'd only really, I was actually received the title COO a few years ago, but have really only spent a year in it. And it's because Rick and I were working predominantly on this legislation. And not sure we anticipated when we started 4+ years right. ago, frankly, working on it and really trying to bring people together around the topic and helping people understand early on why, to your point, exact point, Maggie, why having the Milwaukee Brewers in the state of Wisconsin matters not just for our business, but for the state in terms of attracting future talent to the state, not just in baseball, but in every industry. In terms of, you know, we are by every measure, I mean, the Milwaukee Brewers are the smallest market in baseball, right? Are in the smallest market. We are a tiny market. And the fact that we managed to have professional sports teams in this state, we managed to have the absolute best, most incredible fans. It'll put them up against anyone's fans anywhere in the country. The fact that we have those bases here and we continue to thrive in these spaces is really nearly inexplicable. And it's something that, you know, people brush off and think, ah, the rich getting richer. I'll be honest. Having a baseball team in the state of Wisconsin, you know, this has been said, it's real, is not the most lucrative place that you could have. And people are like, what do you mean, Marty? That doesn't make sense to me. Here's what it's about, right? It's about that market size. It's about the small market, Maggie. And, you know, the number of eyeballs we have in the state of Wisconsin are not the number of eyeballs that exist in the state of New York or the state of California, right? Pure and simple, which means having a business here is not as lucrative. TV's not willing to pay us as much. Sponsors aren't willing to pay the club as much. But darn it, we have managed to thrive, award-winning club year after yes. year after year in the very top five, top 10 in terms of attendance, food, revenue. How about the production on the field, right? Making the playoffs over and over, 6 of the last 7 years. Those kinds of accomplishments in this state, yeah, they're fantastic for the Milwaukee Brewers. But what they do for the city of Milwaukee, the county of Milwaukee, and this state, you know, there's a report out there. You can find it if you jump online. It'll give you all the specific numbers, but the amount of money brought into the state by this ball club, the number of jobs provided by this ball club, the reach of our employee base,
yes,
our opportunities, they are unmatched. And so, look, we can make the topic political. I'd rather not, right, in the state. But the reality is the state of Wisconsin came together around, they understood, generally speaking, what we were trying to accomplish, what the Milwaukee Brewers is about. And we got there. The Milwaukee Brewers are going to be in Milwaukee, in the state of Wisconsin through 2050. And there's really, frankly, nothing that makes us happier.
I'm so glad to hear you say that. And this is one of those topics. Again, it was a bipartisan piece of legislation. I was still the general counsel at Milwaukee County when a lot of those talks were happening. So, again, congratulations, not just to you, but the governor, Mayor Johnson, County Executive Crawley, right, and Speaker Voss as well. It took everybody to come together.
Right.
And the ROI on the taxpayers' investment in Wisconsin and the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County on the investments of tax dollars is demonstrable. It is real ROI. It is an economic engine. You mentioned, and I wanted to ask you this question because there's been a lot of tumult over the TV rights. We had Diamond Sports go bankrupt now, Brewers broadcasting through FanDuel. There's been some talk around Major League Baseball about, hey, letting teams like the Brewers self-produce, have their own TV rights to put that out there. How does that work? Is that a good idea? Will it help? Because, again, the eyeballs that can be generated by teams, whether we're talking about the Yanks and the Cubs that literally have their own dedicated networks, the huge deals that the Dodgers just cut with Spectrum, is that a good idea for the Brewers and other small market teams that just can't muster up a payroll of, you know, this week the AP coming out, Mets, $322 million. We're never going to be playing in that size pond.
Yeah, exactly, Maggie. And I guess I would say this. The TV situation is evolving constantly. It's moving. It's taking a completely different direction. Baseball as a sport has been an outlier in the way our TV deals are structured for some time. And that's not a secret to anyone. And it's really, we're all taking a look at it really long and hard to make sure we figure out as a league the best way to move forward, the best process for the sport in terms of longevity. Now, I will say this. For us in the media, we care deeply about our fans being able to access our product, no matter where they are. We've struggled in the past years with, you know, some of our partners in that way. You know, we've had limited visibility. There was very limited percentage of our fan base that were able to see our games. We have to change that, and that's what we're working on doing.
Folks, we got Marty Ronsky, COO of the Milwaukee Brewers. We're going to talk maybe a little less baseball business when we come back on the other side, and more about what you can expect from the Brewers this season. We're going to honor Bob Uecker. We're going to have more fun. So much going on with Marty. You're not going to want to go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. Happy Friday, everybody.